We continue now with Gloria Di Gaetano on the Parent Coaching Institute. Gloria is a parent of two boys, a former teacher, school district administrator, university instructor, curriculum specialist, and media literacy consultant. So for anyone who has just joined us, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Parent Coaching Institute? Maybe we can take over with the last two of the Vital Five that we kind of skimmed over in the last segment. In our Vital Five, and you can describe what that is too. But first, the Parent Coaching Institute. Tell us about that.
Well, the Parent Coaching Institute is a training organization for educators, counselors, and anyone who would like more skills and an opportunity to work with parents on a one-on-one. We're also, besides a training organization, we're also a placement organization. So we work with Head Start organizations, community organizations, schools, different corporations, to place our parent coaches to give them opportunities of jobs to work with parents in this paradigm of one-on-one phone conversations with parents to support them over time towards their identified goals.
All right. Now, you talked in our last segment about a vital five. And these are the five basic things that kids need to have to become, you know, healthy, rational adults. Is that accurate?
Right.
Okay. And maybe you can go over the first, maybe you can read the five very quickly, you know, just a brief description of them, and then go into a little more detail on the last two that we left off on last time.
Okay. Part of the training, Paul, that we do is a year-long training, and it's part distance learning, and it's part workshops, on-site workshops, and there is graduate credit available through Seattle Pacific University.
What degree would you end
up with? So it's a year-long training. It can be towards a master's degree or it can be above and for a master's degree. It's at a 500-level graduate-level credit. So it can apply to that, and there are continuing education units, 88 of those, just available by doing the program. That's part of the program, and then the graduate credit is available above it. So what I'm saying is that our curriculum has a high standard for the industry in our association and our partnership with Seattle Pacific University.
And you have a master's in education, so you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I have a master's in education, and I keep working to know what I talk about, Paul. You know, we have to keep reading and keep updating. But yes, and two of the people that we're training now have doctorate degrees, and they came back to the training in order to get some an isolated set of skills on that systems approach, which is unique. And so that systems approach consists of a variety of things, but one of them is this concept of Vital Five, which are five developmental needs of children that are being shelved right now in our society because they're being impacted by a certain cultural piece. And here's how I explain it. Well, for instance, the first one, and we know this, is that children need to feel a sense of belonging in relationship to their parents and also to other caring adults. They need to bond with a community. And fragmented families and the lack of extended family for many families make this a very difficult task to accomplish. The second one is that our children need to bond with themselves and to have a sense of their own internal landscape right away so they know their intuitive longings, they know the voice inside of themselves very well. The fast-paced of life and the stress on our children, the harried syndrome, keeps children distracted from their inner selves. The third, and we talk a lot about this when I talk with you, is to develop an imagination and to be able to know their unique expression in the world. And I will say that the overuse and misuse of screen entertainment is the one basic problem with children's lack of imagination today. All the visual images are given. Children don't have to conjure up anything. And this is a huge tragedy. And if parents understood the research and understood brain development, for instance, they would know that there's a huge relationship between lack of imagination and depression and also violence and aggression.
It's a drug, isn't it?
Yes.
There's no question about it.
Yes, it is. It is. And the fourth one, we did skim over this in the last segment, but it's to develop authenticity values and a sense of meaningful purpose. And this is done over, 18 years or so. But what happens so often with children who are at risk in our society is that they don't have
a purpose. They don't understand who they are. And a big part of that has to do, I think, with their distraction from themselves and getting time to really know themselves, or trying out, for instance, the importance of trying out different skills and encouraging parents to let the child dally a little bit rather than becoming the greatest soccer player in the world at age 12. And so many parents, of course, want their children to succeed, but at age 12, maybe that soccer player doesn't need to be spending, you know, 20 hours a week on soccer. Maybe they also need to be playing the piano and getting some jazz improvisation going. And a lot of parents in the elementary years, parents of elementary school children want so much for their children to succeed, sometimes they isolate that and don't understand the importance of the variedness.
And burn them out.
Yeah, burn them out. Burn them out and push them.
Why does the name Andrea Jaeger come to mind? The tennis pro burned out at about 14 or 16?
And this has to do, again, we look at the systems approach and the models our children have in the sports world. The what's happening in the sports world for our children and just the pushing. And again, it's the product, not the process, that is important. When actually in raising children, it's the process that's important and not the product in many cases. And then the last one is children really need to experience themselves as contributors to a larger whole. And how important chores are, and we don't even call them chores I give all these different names to different things, but what I'm saying is that the word chore means like a drudgery. But what if it's a really important job for you to do this because the family couldn't function well without it, and that we need you? And not in the sense of saying, oh, the child is making decisions before his or her time, but just that, you know, this is important. This is important that you help mommy put these napkins on the table. It really helps me. Thanks. And a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old can feel like, yeah, they've contributed. And sometimes children in our society are missing that in a complex techno world that we live in.
My partner comes back from Eastern Europe and says, you know, the 7-year-old, you know, cleared the dishes from the table, washed the dishes, and took care of things. And in, you know, in this country, a 7-year-old doing that would be like, you know, it'd be a hallucination.
And the 7-year-old can program the VCR, though, you know, and really download something on the internet, probably. And they're very savvy. Many children are very savvy, high tech, but they lack responsibility and understanding of some of the business of living. That's what my husband calls it, the business of living.
Smart man. We're talking with Gloria DiGaetano. She's the founder and CEO of the Parent Coaching Institute. She's talking about a systems approach to training parent mentors. I'm Paul Nelson. One thing is very interesting is what I'd be interested in hearing about is, what about liability issues? You train these folks, they go out and give advice, and something goes haywire. Tell us about how you've protected yourself.
Well, we have a contract agreement with our parent coaches, and there are 3 levels. One is that the parent coach can basically take the materials and work with parents on their own, and they're not affiliated with the institute after that point. They've been trained, and they go off and become parent coaches themselves, and then that's their liability. The second level is the ones that we place, and we have a contract then when we place the parent coaches, and we haven't really because they have to be certified through this year-long process, but we are going to be placing people with pilot studies, and so we developed a contract with my attorney, and so we work with the placement agency itself, with the agency we're placing the parent coaches in, and they understand that. So one that we're looking at right now and talking with is Child Haven in Seattle, and we are looking at coaching parents and really understanding we are not counselors, and we're not here, you know, to basically deal with very volatile issues, and we would recommend our parents to a counselor. And I had a situation like that where I could not coach, in my integrity, could not coach the parent until she was in a domestic violence situation. And she was not in counseling. And so I had to deny her the coaching relationship until she agreed to get counseling. So the parent coaches are trained in these areas of ethics.
The parent coaches then have to be very careful who they take on in a situation like this. And also, I would imagine that you have to be very careful in who you take on to go through the PCA?
Oh, yes. We have a screening process, an interviewing process. We have forms and standards, and definitely, yes. We are protecting ourselves as much as possible as any training organization can. Parent coaches, many of them have been educators, and they've been in the field and worked with parents for many, many years, and so they're not, these issues are not new to them.
Let's talk about the placement, which you've mentioned now a couple of times. You don't even have a graduate from the Parent Coaching Institute, and yet you have potential slots for them to actually make some decent money.
Oh, yes. See, this was why I started this, because 2 years of trying to figure out how to help educators do the thing they do most well in terms of all the expertise they have. And maybe they might do 4 or 5 workshops for parents a year, and then they're, you know, they don't have that kind of contact with parents. So when I go and do my talks and presentations now throughout the country, what I find is that many agencies are looking for an innovative way to work with parents. Sometimes it's as much as, can you help the parents navigate the school system? Because their children are having some problems in school. And many parents in a Title I program, for instance, the children are 2 years or more behind in reading or writing or math. And so there are federal monies to support programs for parents to help the parents with their children's schoolwork. There are federal programs to help Head Start parents who need extra help, so that there are monies coming in that help, that are designated for family support, and the Parent Coaching Institute can take advantage of that because we have such an innovative, effective model.
The federal government helping a systems approach. Is this news that we should be shouting for?
Well, Paul, this is your... I don't know if they understand the system approach. They understand that these parent educators are well-trained, and they like the curriculum. They like what we do. They like the approach that we have. And the common sense approach, especially with their, first kind of taken with from my work, is the parenting in a media culture. And a lot of people are not yet asking that question or helping parents navigate that media culture. And so a lot of our pilots are basically on that model.
It's funny. The way we could create awareness about the need to question this whole media culture is to put advertisements on TV.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And how would you get that? You know, it's the biting the hand that feeds you.
Well, advertising is fine. It's the manipulation of the advertising and the distrust and the unethical advertising, because you advertise every time you're on the air too, just because you are talented and you're advertising your show by being who you are. You can't get away from that, but you can get away from the manipulation of it and the corporate conglomerates dominating it.
It's like the cover of that old National Lampoon magazine. Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog. You know, I mean, that's an extreme approach, but using the fear or saying if you smoke this brand of cigarette, or implying if you smoke this kind of cigarette, you'll have sex with beautiful members of the opposite sex. That kind of advertising, that pernicious, inauthentic kind of advertising is what you're talking about.
Exactly. Basically, to hook a customer and to hook them at age 8 or 9 is a tragedy.
You already see that there are different styles that parent coaches will have. And do you have a sense of some of the archetypical parent coaching styles?
Well, different people will have also different styles, for instance, and also different approaches. Like they might want to work with parents of teens, or they might want to work with parents of young children, or they might want to just focus on children who have been, quote-unquote, labeled special ed, and the parents who are dealing with all of the different concerns of children who have this label now, and how can they help their children optimally in the school system.
And that's very interesting because, you know, you would think such a small niche as a parent coach for parents who have developmentally disabled kids, that would be a very small niche. However, you're talking about phone consultation, so it could be anyone in the world.
That's right. It can be anybody in the world. And one of our parent coaches is a doctor, Dr. McKay is his name. He's in Australia. He is a coach. He's a corporate coach. He's a business coach. And he has found that he has been working with Aboriginal parents and children in certain settings. And he wants to further this work. He loves the work and wants some more information. He takes my newsletter and found out about the Parent Coaching Institute. So it's a small world. And yes, and he could actually be in a pilot program here coaching parents in Seattle while he's being trained.
That's fascinating. That really is. I'd love to meet him and see the work he's doing with Aboriginal kids. That would be just amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Let's get to the very mercenary aspect of this. How much money can someone make as a parent coach?
Well, the coaching industry itself, you know, says that an average coach, let's say a personal coach or a life decision-making coach, okay, not the corporate coaches, we'll talk about that later, but a coach set up and who has clients could charge $250 a month for about 4 hours of work coaching a person, and many of the coaching calls might last 45 minutes. Now, the other piece of this is that many coaches allow their clients to send them as many emails as they want a week. Sometimes they give 10-minute conversations other than the coaching conversation if the client wants that. So they are also a resource that's available. They usually say, well, it's a 3-month commitment, and so that locks in then $750 for one client. Now, that's sort of an average and maybe a low-end average. For our parent coaches right now, since we're working so much with our nonprofit organizations and our pilots, that's about what we're aiming for, and it might be less because as training these people, we need to give them time in practicing. So sometimes we are also giving our services away in order to get our a number, you know, our hours met, so we have some coaching hours in order for certification. But coaching, you can have clients, for instance, parents who could pay, and you could charge even a bit more. The corporate coaches are way off. They're like $1,500 for 3 hours or 2,000 sometimes, or even more, because they're coaching CEOs. Probably a parent coach would never charge that. Unless, you see, part of my vision is that we could be providing coaching for corporations as part of wellness programs, because a lot of times when people are off on the job, they're worried about their kids.
So it certainly would work to enhance the productivity of a parent who's dealing with that.
Yes, and so I see our services and our need, you know, being needed, especially as we get more into internet access and the energy crisis, and people won't want to be traveling as much. I see this as a big way, a new paradigm to deliver social services to families.
And that is a great segue into what would probably be our last question, but could be a question for a whole new series of programs, and that is, how do you see parent coaches as catalysts for social evolution?
The point of evolution is in the family. The point of change is not out there, Paul. You know, it's not out there somewhere. It is with the future of that baby in that nursery. It is with the children playing those video games. That's where critical change is going to take place. We change the culture by changing our family and our families and our parenting. And eventually, we then parent the culture, because the culture isn't going to parent itself, and it's out of control. It really needs a parent. So in some ways, I say our parent coaches are learning to support parents so that they can be more effective parents, but also happier parents, more at ease parents, and that our children can grow optimally in this culture and get us out of this crazy time. We are in a crazy time. Like you said, you know, these kids on Prozac at age 4. It is crazy, and it is getting, the corporations have a word for this time of transition, when we're making a transition into another paradigm of a way of being. It gets crazy, and people don't have boundaries. They don't know what's going up, what's right, what's wrong. Is the economy going up? Well, it was. Now it's going down, and things are fluctuating, and there's a lot of unease. Children are more aggressive, more violent than ever in many cases. There's more playgrounds canceled. Their schools are in crisis. We're in all of this fluctuation, and it's a crazy time. What we're saying at the Parent Coaching Institute is a way out of that is a one-on-one relationship with
Jean Houston says it's a time of whole systems transition. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And, you know, when you begin to understand the systems approach, it becomes a lot less, the fear is reduced because you realize that this is an historic time, but if you take a step back, a lot of the things that aren't working anymore are in the process of dying. They're in great states of entropy. And so it's actually a very good thing if you can forget about the horrible traffic that you had to get through, you know, and, right. and all the other things of living in this time in history. It's absolutely amazing work. I'm fascinated by it. I hope you'll continuously keep us updated about what's going on and maybe get into some depth on this. And the other thing about it is, you know, the research that you have and that you know about, which is available in your two books, the resources that you draw on are just amazing. So you yourself serve as a sort of nexus and information clearinghouse, a lot of this information, and I would imagine keeping graduates, when there are graduates of the PCI, informed about the latest research and about all this information that helps strengthen what they do and what you do.
Yes, we definitely will, and there will be ongoing support for our graduates. Thanks so much for having me, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure. You're one of the most amazing folks that we have on the show. That's why you're on, you know, as we, you know, you should be on more, really, but we'll work on that.
Thank you.
More information is available. There's going to be a website, but we'll give you Gloria's current website, which is growsmartbrains.com. That's one long word, growsmartbrains.com. And if you're not online yet, you can call her, 425-401-1519. We've been talking with Gloria DiGaetano. She's the founder and CEO of the Parent Coaching Institute.